the Chuck Wagon Gang. I know you've heard of them. You've probably heard them so many times and maybe didn't recognize it. A really amazing sound of, I would still call it Southern Gospel. I don't know that it's really classified at that. To help me answer that question, Shay Smith of the Chuck Wagon Gang is my guest in the second hour. They have a new album, No Depression in Heaven, the gospel songs of the Carter family on Mountain Home Records. Met Shay about 3 years ago, and we had the opportunity now to get back together with this new album. You're going to recognize so much of what she discusses in the history of the Chuck Wagon Gang, which goes back decades and decades, and they're always true to their sound and true to their fans.
You're listening to Unreal Bluegrass.
I'm very happy to welcome, for the first time to Unreal Bluegrass, a member of the Chuck Wagon Gang, Shay Smith. How are you, Shay?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to you. We were talking off the air just a little bit, but you and I just had a brief encounter back in, it was 2016, late March or early April, and the Chuck Wagon Gang was in town for a special award from either the city of Nashville or the state, I'm not sure which, and I just happened to cross paths with you after that, but it was an honor of the Chuck Wagon Gang, which has a long, long history, and right now there's a new album that I want to talk to you about, the Chuck Wagon Gang, Depression in Heaven, the gospel songs of the Carter family, but do you remember what you were there that day in Nashville for, some award?
We were being recognized by the Senate for the state of Tennessee. They drew up a special, I don't know what the legal form is it of it is, but honoring, it was like a Chuck Wagon Gang Day, if I remember correctly. And we were there, and they presented it to us on the House of the Senate, and it was quite an honor. And they read up a big, long proclamation, so it was quite an honor for us.
The listeners of Unreal Bluegrass certainly know the Chuck Wagon Gang, but you can give me, I'm sure you've done it so many times, a little bit of a stretch of the history. The Chuck Wagon Gang I describe as sort of Southern gospel. You have almost always have the electric guitar and three vocals, maybe more throughout. But can you tell me a little bit about the Chuck Wagon Gangs, and then we'll get to this new album?
Sure. The gang's history goes back to the Depression days in West Texas, the early 30s. My family were itinerant cotton field hands, and in the midst of the Depression, they were in need of a job for a medicine, actually for my grandmother, who was very sick, and so her father took the other two oldest siblings to the radio station and got a job, and that's the way they were able to get medicine, and they formed initially the Carter Quartet, not to be confused with the Carter family, but the Carter Quartet there in Lubbock, Texas in the early 1930s. Then they moved to Fort Worth and were sponsored by Beulah Mills Flour on WBAP in Fort Worth. And in 1935, they got started there and began recording for Columbia in 1936.
And the legend, to me, the Chuck Wagon Gang is legendary. When I met you, I wasn't sure who was going to be at this event I was at, and you all were in town, and we all just kind of gathered together and had a nice long lunch, I had no idea I would be in the presence of the current iteration of the Chuck Wagon Gang, and I was almost speechless, to be honest with you.
I lost that last part of the question,
no,
Steve.
I say I was almost speechless, to be honest with you.
Well, It's really an honor for us in the group now. I mean, I'm the only family member, but all four of us feel equally honored to be carrying the torch. You know, it'll be 84 years this November that the group has been going on, and it's we were talking just last week about how difficult it is to put the Chuck Wagon Gang in any particular genre or you know, field like country or Southern gospel. And really, as our friend Mr. Eddie Stubbs did all the research, you know, the Chuck Wagon Gang never was Southern gospel. I don't know who put us there or when they put us there, maybe just a matter of convenience at whatever time it was, but the gang has always been country and kind of folk in its origins. They did package shows with country artists like Johnny Cash, and then they did stuff where Flat and Scruggs were present, and you know, so they're just kind of all over the board as far as genres, And I think because we don't specifically fit into one particular genre, we are able to kind of fit into all of them. You know, we do a little bit of acoustic with four vocals. We do some electric with four vocals, but we keep that style the same as the original group, which, I mean, I believe is the reason for the longevity of the group, because we don't change.
No.
You always know who we are when you hear the strum. You know who it is.
And the sound, if I can get you to maybe elaborate on the sound, to me, I would describe it as, like you said, you're either going to have an electric guitar or an acoustic guitar, but it's a nice, sparse, clean, everything is audible on the words. The singing is precise, as opposed to being overproduced if we wanted to face the other direction.
Right, right. And, you know, when you go back and listen to those original recordings that they did, and, of course, in live time around one mic and those primitive recording processes that they used back then, but, you know, they had to be good at what they did, or they had to stay there all day and do retake after retake after retake to get it right. But, you know, they were just taking the sheet music out of the old song books, just as, let's say, Albert Brumley would have written a song, and they sang it the way he wrote it, the notes, the rhythms, the harmonies. They were following the written sheet music, and that gave the gang its sound and its harmony structure. And we do the same thing when we sing a song. If it's a new song, like one that Marty Stewart wrote for us, we score it like you would see it in a hymn book. Or if it's just an old song out of one of the old song books, we just, you know, sing whatever was written, and it allows us to keep a consistent style.
And the style is instantly recognizable. You mentioned you mentioned the strum of the guitar, but the vocals to me, and can you explain how they're layered? To me, the vocals are always recognizable as the Chuck Wagon Gang, whether it was 50 years ago or 10 years ago or 80 years ago. But
right. Well, when you think of those old hymns, I mean, going back to the 1800s, you know, old hymn books, and, you know, like you would pick up and sing at an old-fashioned camp meeting, you know, you'd have the top line would be the sopranos, then the second line would be the altos, and you get down on the bottom clef, and the top line's the tenors, and the bottom line is the bass. And you have a particular voice type that's able to sing in each one of those registers. You know, you got your highest tone ladies up on that soprano and the highest tone fellas on the tenor, and then the alto and the bass respectively, the lower tones of the female and the male voices. And when you mix that, that's the sound that you get as far as the harmonies. But, you know, that original quartet, Rose and Anna and Dad and Jim, their particular voice timbres created the sound that we try to emulate and try to keep consistent.
That's a great description. That's exactly what I needed you to say, because the vocals and the ranges are so close to what, but it's also that sound. And when you say timbre, I think that's really what I was trying to put my finger on.
Yeah, it's, you know, the Rose's soprano voice, it's absolutely unmistakable. It's just this high-piercing kind of a strident tone that just cuts through anything. And then, you know, the bass singer in the Chuck Wagon Gang never was a true bass singer like you think of a J.D. Sumner as a bass singer. Chuck Wagon basses really were baritones singing bass, which caused the sound to be a little thinner with kind of a gravelly edge to it. And then the tenor and alto just always had kind of a warm sound that helped it blend. But to me, that bass and soprano kind of define the sound on either end.
It's an instantly recognizable sound, and a gorgeous and a beautiful sound.
Thank you.
Just so people listen to it. It actually bespeaks of the topic of what is so much of the Chuck Wagon Gang repertoire. And this new album, by the way, how much better, perfect timing could you have? to release an album. The title of the album is No Depression in Heaven, the gospel songs of the Carter family, with all of the attention on the country music special that's running night after night. And the Carter, every segment so far has discussed the Carter family.
That was absolute divine intervention. That was not planned. And it is amazing. And I'm just in awe at the timing. We had been looking for a record label and had not had much luck, and wound up speaking with Crossroads, who has the bluegrass label Mountain Home. And as we talked to them and started talking about what we wanted to do, they thought it sounded like a really interesting idea for a project. And so we signed with them. We started putting the project together. It took over a year to gather the songs and to feel like we had the songs like we wanted them. And we, you know, set a time to record. And at that time, we, you know, spoke with the label saying, you know, please don't put us, especially this project, under a Southern Gospel label, because this project reaches much more in the directions of country and folk and Americana and bluegrass.
And Appalachia,
yeah,
Southern all those Gospel.
You know, and they were receptive to the idea, and so they put us on the Mountain Home label. And you know, as we put the songs together, and I tell folks when we sing these, you know, if you have a Carter family record at home of No Depression, it's not going to sound like what we're about to do, because we picked their gospel songs, but we had to remain true to Chuck Wagon Gang. So it was, we had to kind of meet in the middle.
That's right.
And so we went back and found sheet music, like we would to any song, and we sang the songs the way they were written, but which is really interesting on some of them, especially No Depression, because I don't think anybody's ever recorded it the way it was written. So it was really interesting to put that together, but several of the songs fell into the same type of a situation where we sang it, we recorded it like it was written, and just kind of created a different song. But yeah, the timing as far as the documentary that's out right now is just amazing. And you know, talking about the effect that the Carter family had on the development of country music, I mean, that goes without saying.
Right.
You know, they were right there at the beginning with Jimmy Rogers and Mr. Peer put all that together. But pretty cool time.
let me say one thing, Shay, about this new album too, and I think it would apply to almost any Chuck Wagon recording, Chuck Wagon Gang recording, but on this one in particular, if I'm driving and I listen over and over to get ready to speak to someone like you from an artist point of view, you start singing with them, even though you can't sing like the Chuck Wagon Gang, because the lyrics are so clean when they're sung, mm-hmm. and the songs are so sparsely populated with instruments that you ought, the second time through, if you don't know the song, you start singing with them. It's just, and yeah. I think the sound of the Chuck Wagon Gang pulls the audience in. You start doing a little bit of singing. I'm in my car, nobody can hear me, it doesn't fit, but
yeah.
I think that's part of the joy of this recording.
Well, and that's been true with our music forever. It's been, and my Uncle Roy, he was the youngest sibling to my grandmother, and he sang bass longer than any fella ever sang bass. But he said one time, he said, the thing about the Chuck Wagon Gang that endears them to people is anyone can jump in there and sing along. You don't have to be a trained singer.
That's
you can
right.
be a farmer out of the field, or you can be a lawyer or riding down the road. You can jump in there and sing along, and it makes you feel like you're part of the song.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah, and these Carter family songs are so, I mean, Anchored in Love. How many times have you heard Anchored in Love through the years? You know, songs like that, and Honey in the Rock, and Old Gospel Ship. And some people may or may not realize that the Carter family did all these songs as well, because they're I guess, more well-known for their secular songs. But these gospel songs they did were just as important and full of you know, heart and soul. And we're loving singing them, and audiences are really
good.
Enjoying
good.
Listening to them.
That's
you know,
good. And on the rock where Moses stood, there's very there's almost no bluegrass, strictly bluegrass audience. It won't recognize that from a thousand different recordings of different artists.
And that's a song that was kind of hard to put together because the sheet music we found, the lyrics were kind of odd. That it was originally a Negro spiritual, you know, coming from the 1920s, and the lyrics were kind of odd, and we thought, well, how do we do this? Because you listen to a version maybe that Vince Gill did, and his lyrics were different. So we went to the Carter family's original recording, and we took their lyrics and put those lyrics in the song because we felt like they made the most sense as far as the flow of the song. But it was, you know, just an old spiritual. It was first written down in the 20s, but they don't really know how far back it goes, probably to the days of the slaves in the 1800s.
Yeah.
That was one of those kind of question mark songs, which kind of gave it an eerie feeling as far as knowing where it could have come from. And so that was really a cool one to put together. But, you know, it was a kind of a combination of original music and Carter family lyrics to come up with what we ultimately had.
Shay, don't let me forget to ask you the current makeup of the band.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm doing that now.
Okay, yeah. My tenor singer, Stan Hill, has been with the group for about 13 and a half years, and he's from Knoxville. And actually, the idea for this project was his. He was the one that said, hey, let's do a Carter family tribute. And so I give him the credit for that, coming up with such a wonderful idea. But he's got a beautiful tenor voice and just an amazing singer. And he's funny and witty and drives us all crazy, but he's a great singer. My soprano, Melissa Kemper, is from Groveton, Texas, and she sang with the group years ago, left for a while, and then came back about 3 years ago. So this is her second go-round with the group, and she's doing a great job singing the soprano. And then Carl Smokula, he's from West Virginia, and he started out just playing guitar with us. He's a graduate of ETSU from Johnson City,
sure.
And a great guitar player, and started out just playing guitar, and then our bass singer that we had was only with us a year and left, and so we were looking for a bass singer, and Carl said, well, I can sing bass while you look. And after about a month or so, we were all like, well, we don't need to find anybody else. you're doing just fine. And so he started singing and playing.
Now, you don't get a pay raise just because you get another title.
He did ask. And I said, well, yeah. Yeah, so he's doing a good job doing both parts there.
Shay, were you the one that I remember having a college musical training beyond...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been told I had just enough not to ruin me. Yeah, I went to school. I actually have two degrees in music.
I
studied voice performance, and then I went back and got a Bachelor of Music Ed to teach choral conducting. And actually taught high school for a while, and I really love high school choir, and I enjoyed that, but I guess the road lured me back, and that's really where I belong. But.
Well, let's give the folks, of course, we know it's on Mountain Home Music, the new album, which is No Depression in Heaven, the gospel songs of the Carter family by the Chuckwagon Gang. Where can they find you as far as where you're going to be on the road, and where can they find this new release, I assume, we have an internet site that will allow us to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. Well, our website is thechuckwagongang.net, and you can order that new record off of our website. It's available to be streamed on, you know, iTunes and Apple Music. It's on Spotify now. It's kind of all over the place. Also, our Facebook page is just booming with activity. You can always find out where we're going to be on Facebook. But if any questions arise, the website at chuckwagongang.net is probably the most reliable place.
May I share, we talked about this off the air, may I share just quickly what happened when we were having lunch? Because I just think this was some sort of, I don't know, I drove home from lunch, and this of course, it was a joy to meet you and all the people there, but may I share this intervention, if we want to call it that, between Merle and Ronnie Reno? Okay, Ronnie Reno, we all know.
Absolutely.
Played
yeah.
with Merle Haggard forever and ever, and Merle was in the hospital. This is how I know the approximate time that we met. He
right.
was in the hospital, and Merle Haggard, I think, was going to try to be there. He wasn't alive, but he was texting, correct me if I'm wrong, Merle Haggard was texting to Ronnie Reno as we sat at lunch, lyrics mm-hmm. to a new song, and Ronnie would get a line, and he would show everybody and tell what they were, and another line. So we're sitting there, and Merle Haggard is actually communicating with the Chuckwagon mm-hmm. gang because he wants yeah. to write a new song for him. And I could not shake that whole experience.
Yeah, he was. And it was after Merle had passed away that Ronnie and I spoke, and Ronnie sang the song to me, like just a line or two, or maybe mm-hmm. the chorus. I can't remember what it was. And I honestly don't know whether Merle finished the entire song.
I
need to go back and ask Ronnie if he actually was able to finish it. But he was in his hospital bed
yep.
writing a song for the Chuckwagon gang, which gives me cold chills as I say it. But yeah, it's
absolutely does.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to make sure we were both at the same meeting because
I
remember that, and I drove
right.
home thinking, "Holy mackerel, what just happened?" So, all right, though, that was good to share. Thank you for letting me share that story.
Yeah.
Shay, this has been wonderful. Thanks so much for being available. I love this new album. Like I said, I listen
Thank
in
you.
My car when I prepare to speak with someone like you, and I hear it over and over. People that get it, I guarantee you'll be singing with it. And all you got to do is put your heart and soul into it. You don't have to sing as good as the Chuckwagon gang. But these songs are infectious, and the arrangements and the way they're flawlessly done. And I just keep coming back to this. They're so clean and so crisp, and everything is done with so much heart. And the lyrics are just right there in front of you as you're listening. It's just a wonderful tribute of the Chuckwagon gang. And that's kind of the way they do things, and that's the way you do things.
Well, thank you. We worked really hard, and it's always nice, you know. I think every artist puts so much into every project, and you hope that you will get some type of reward out of what you do. And this particular record is doing that, and it's coming back, and it's really blessing folks, and they're just enjoying the music, and so that's the reward that we look for.
If you're listening, if you're listening to it or watching the Chuckwagon, you're going to get chills. You're going to get chills, and you're going to have to stand up. Don't stand up while you're driving. But it's just that kind of music to me. This is music I heard
That's
from
right.
my grandparents. So I was immediately attracted to it, although I wasn't quite sure where the sound came from until I met you and went back and did some research. I wasn't sure where that sound that they were imitating came from. So
right.
I was so thrilled
right.
when I had this opportunity to chat with you and help fill in some blanks for me.
Well, it was certainly nice chatting with you again, and I appreciate you inviting me to chat with you a bit.
All right, Shay, listen, I will catch you somewhere down the road, and thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, Steve.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You so much. All right, sure. Bye-bye.